Crawford.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Charlie. We continue our introduction in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews tonight. And you probably looked here before, we'll look here again, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can rejoice that because of your love for us, your blessed Son endured that cross, knowing that through that, dear God, we would have this privilege of prayer. We could have the forgiveness of sins. We could have the hope of eternal life. We can have the indwelling spirit, dear God. We can have your strength and your grace and the fruits of your spirit in our lives, dear God. And you have provided so much for us, dear God. We are rich in Christ. And he became poor that we through his poverty might be rich. And dear God, we do thank you and we do praise you for that. Lord, I pray that you would please fill me and use me, help me and guide me and direct me tonight, ministering the word to your church. We're thankful for each one here, thankful for those that are here with us online. We're thankful that we've had this opportunity to cast our cares upon you, to lay them before your throne, and knowing that you are working your will in them, Father, and growing us through them. Help us tonight be glorified. Draw us closer to you. Thank you for each one here. We do pray and ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Continuing in our first lesson in Hebrews. And seeing that the author has remained anonymous, we've looked at some reasons as to why some people believe that the Apostle Paul perhaps is could be the one of the ones who penned this. Others disagree. We've looked at some of those reasons why, and we won't go through all of those. So the author being anonymous, and we saw also that the recipients, we looked at that, and they are of course the title to the Hebrews. Was added sometimes later, but we see that from the very context, it's obviously to Hebrew Christians in the first church. We in the first century church, we looked at that idea of sojourners, to the strangers that are scattered abroad. Peter had written, and so the early church was likely made up. What was made up of? Of Jews beginning and saved. So here this writer is obviously writing to the Hebrews. By the depth that he goes into the temple sacrifice and system. I think I didn't put on my mic, did I? Where did I sit that at? Brother Travis handed it to me. And I don't even have, oh, here it is. Okay. It's a good thing this is attached, I'll tell you that. I didn't know a church had the headless horseman for a pastor. I don't know if there was a church that had the headless horseman for a pastor. No. Okay, and let's see. Am I on? Okay, amen. At least the equipment is, anyway, amen. I'm thankful that God has chosen to use the base things of the world, amen. Things that are not, to bring to naught things that are. That gives us all hope, amen. So we considered the recipients going to the Hebrews, we know we saw that salvation, of course, is for Jew and Gentile alike, is through faith in Christ. We looked at that, and a Jew gets saved the same way a believer does. And we saw also that believers are having a struggle. Paul had mentioned about the time they ought to be teachers. They have need that one tell you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. So they're having some struggles because they've likely gotten their focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to keep our focus upon Him. I had a thought that I wanted to share, we can have many things of the world that distract us from Christ. We talked some about that last week, all the problems, just the everyday life, the cares, sicknesses, struggles, finances, relationships, all those things, the way the world's going, all those things can get us distracted like it has this church, this likely a house church of these Jews that the writer is writing to. But Jesus wants us to cast our cares upon Him. And a couple of verses that we looked at in the earlier teachings starting out here. Jesus, we need that peace in persecution. And I didn't write the book down. I got 10:19 here. But Jesus said, "But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak." So there's a take no thought, that means no anxious care, in the context of being delivered up before rulers and such. And of course, we know that in Matthew 6:25 and following, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what shall ye drink, wherewithal ye shall be clothed. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, Matthew 6. And so there's another place where they are to take no thought. And we think of some things that we learned about these Jews. This was very practical for them. They've been persecuted. They have been spoiled. In other words, they have been brought before governors. They have suffered. They have those that have lost their lives to persecution. They have lost their goods. So now those things that Jesus said, that's right on their doorstep. Because persecution and death it could be imminent for any one of them if they continue to live the Christian life and exalt Jesus. So take note, fear not them, kill the body, after that have no more they can do. And what about confiscating goods? Take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat, what shall ye drink? This is all right on their doorstep. Take no thought when they deliver you up what you shall say, right on their doorstep. Some of them have already been delivered up. They've been persecuted. And so they are hopefully grabbing a hold of these things as the anchor and finding that grace for the Lord to help them and give them courage. Once again, I mentioned this before, it seems, we're so blessed here in America. Which is probably why the church as a whole is so weak in America in many ways, because we haven't suffered the persecution as many others have. But we need these things in our lives too, because our problems, though they may not be to the depth what these are facing, they're hard for us. Amen. Our little child's problem or grandchild's problem that they're struggling with right now, we think, oh, that's nothing, you should see what's going, that's nothing what's happening down at work or whatever. Well, it's big to them, amen?
And God cares just as much for their problem, you know, as he does for our problems. And by the way, we need his help in our problems. We're not saying, "Oh, we got this, Lord." We're not facing anything like the first century church was. God, we got this. No, we don't. No, we know that we need him every hour, every moment. And so we can get our eyes off him. Question 12 says, what steps can a distracted believer take to get his or her focus back on Christ? Anybody have any thoughts on that? If we've got distracted, what steps can we take to get our focus back on Christ? And we'll just go down through a few of these. Well, renewing time, what? In God's Word. People that walk away from church and those things, it doesn't just happen like that. People that walk away from their marriage, "Oh, it just happened one day." No, it didn't. No, it didn't. We've been letting things slip, putting things off, not doing what we should have been doing in some area for a long time. We need to do as the wise bard Barney Fife said, "Dip it in the bud," right? we need to be close to God. Renew that time in God's Word. If we have gotten away from that, evaluate our priorities. Evaluate our priorities. If you run out of time for prayer, our priorities are messed up. If we run out of time for Bible reading, our priorities are messed up. Amen. If there's no time for church, our priorities are messed up, unless we're physically unable to come. But that's not that's a different thing. That's not a no time for church thing, is it? But we need to evaluate our priorities. You know, where are they in light of eternity? And remember, we talked about redeeming the time recently. It is that we have the same amount of time, but there may be some places where we can do something that's eternal in place of something that's temporal. And that's the only way that we can redeem time is use it better. Meet problems with prayer. That's the first place. Well, all that's left to do is pray. No, that's the first thing we do. That's the first thing we do is pray and place those things before the Lord. When we pray, and by the way, he knows what we're going to ask before we ask. Well, then why pray? Because I need to voice it. Amen. You need to voice it. We need to let him know our hearts, you know. Brother Gene and others, they need to sign it to the Lord. You know, just throw it up there, whatever it is. By the way, voice it in your heart. That means you don't have to use the sign or the words. You just think it. Amen. And God knows it in prayer. And we need to evaluate priorities, meet problems with prayer. Identify sins that beset. What blocks our communication with God? What hinders our prayers? The devil can't do that. He's not our number one enemy. Right there is our number one enemy right there. That's the trap that's set. And if we fall for the bait, that's what gets us right there. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace, the word says. So if we get into sin, we've been fooled, or we've been disobedient. And we're letting the devil have an advantage, letting our flesh have an advantage, because we can have victory. Amen. And yes, we will fail. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Get it right and go on. And we need to identify sins that beset. Identify weights that beset. These, again, are not necessarily things that are wrong. Sometimes they're besetting because they're taking up too much time, or when something better could be there, whatever it might be. I like watching Homestead Rescue, but I can't watch it all day. Okay, my wife's thinking, "You can? I don't know. You're doing a pretty good job there." No, but we have to balance those things, and. And you know, we can have good thing. Too much of a good thing is not a good thing, okay? If it's displaced and displacing something else, identifying the weights that beset us. Determine motivation. Boy, there's an interesting one. What are our motivations? Well, we're always looking at that all the time, aren't we? And we ought to be. I thought of Proverbs 23:1. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Meats for the belly, belly for the meats. If you're living for temporal things, and you're visiting a rich king, beware of yourself. He goes on, be not desirous of his dainties. This is where it's at, you know. Look at this spread. You know, I had hot dogs, he's having shrimp, you know. And look at this palace. Look at the pool out there. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. See all this? See that spread that he has? What God says, if you don't have your eyes the eyes of your heart where they're supposed to be, that meat's going to deceive you. We're going to think that's where it's at. We're going to think I'd be happier if I had this. And be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Boy, here's a big one. I mean, this is just cross-cult. Let labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. It's hard for a rich man. And the kingdom of heaven, the disciple said, what? Lord, who then can be saved? I mean, who doesn't work for more money? I mean, you want to work for more money and more money and more money and more money until one day you don't have to work for money and you can just have, you know, that's the way the world thinks. What do you mean labor not to be rich? No. We labor because God commands us to. And the Bible, matter of fact, says we are to labor that we may have to give. We want to be able to pay all of our bills because you can't be given to somebody else if you owe everybody else. Okay, if you're in debt all the time, matter of fact, you don't have any money to give. Okay, so we need to be wise in that. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? And what's he talking about? Riches. For riches certainly make themselves wings; they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. There it is again. And we've studied that out. The evil eye is connected to what? Covetousness. You look up that term evil eye, you'll find in the context it's usually talking about riches and someone who lives for riches and covetousness and those things. And we need to be giving. I'm thankful for the giving of this church. By the way, love offering for the cooks was $2,540. What a blessing, amen. What a blessing, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful to be fellowship with believers who invest in eternity, amen. And there's a missionary going to be able to go to a bush church that's never had a missionary, amen. And Brother Charlie was praying, you know, Lord, maybe that'll set their heart on fire for missions, and they'll get a taste of that, you know. And amen. We're praying for that for sure. Psalm 141 is a psalm of David. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, Psalm 141:4, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. And let me not eat of their dainties. There it is again. Just that idea of being in the best club, you know, being in the upper echelon of society. And the Bible says, "Mind not high things, what, but condescend to men of low estate." That's talking about don't feel like you have to have the nicest car. Don't feel like you have to be in the neighborhood club around town where they all go, you know, and do the tennis and whatever they do, the golf, the fishing, whatever. I'll attack my hobbies too. Whatever they do, yeah. And I gotta be in the big. God says, don't mind not high things, but condescend. Be willing to be a person of low estate. What does the scripture say? With food and raiment, therewith be content. Amen. And so we need to be careful about that. To be watched. And by the way, remember, we're looking at our motives, looking inside. Why am I doing this? Why am I going here? Why am I not doing this? Why did I say? Trying to discern our motives. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, what? We are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. You see, we have a different program for us. Hell is out of the picture for us. There's now, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk after the flesh. And walking after the flesh there in the context is talking about nothing more than being saved. If you're saved, there is no condemnation for you as far as hell goes. So we have to judge ourselves. When we judge ourselves, we are chastened of the Lord. That's the program for us, that we should not be condemned to the world. That means for the purpose, He has set us apart because He's not going to condemn us with the world. And so we see that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, what? Should not perish. That means he will not perish, but have everlasting life. There's no doubt in that should, like we sometimes use it. It's a should of purpose. And God chastens us that we should not, for the purpose of, that he's not going to condemn us with the world, is what it's talking about there. Now, as the writer of Hebrews writes, I might go ahead and go for another 5 minutes or so, up to quarter after, since we... the writer of Hebrews, confident that most of his readers are Christians, Hebrews 6:9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Now, he was speaking in the context about some really rough chastisements that would come upon them if they didn't get things straightened around. And he says, but we're trusting that you're going to get the better end of this. We don't want you to go to the full chastisement that the Lord could bring on you. And remember, we saw and learned also in the previous lesson that when God is growing us, he's also looking at what? The timing of our growth. Remember to the Hebrews, at the time you ought to be teachers. That's why the writer of Hebrews is warning them, you're in danger of a severe chastisement. We'll get there when we studied it. Because you have put off your growth longer than God has wanted you to. You should have been teachers now. Well, can't we just repent and start all over again? No, you can't. You're already saved. You know, you think about a Hebrew getting saved, well, trusting Christ as your Savior. Oh, the light shines in. It's a gift. You know, I repented of my sins, and now I'm saved, and praise the Lord. But now they start to wander, and they start to get dull. Can I start all over and repent again? The writer says, no, you've already done that. You only get saved once. God has a different plan for you now. You can't get saved again. His plan, if you continue going where you're at, is chastisement to the point of physical death. So we need to turn before we get there. Amen? And we'll get there and study that out. There are some difficult passages in Hebrews, I think, that are explained when we look at the context and remember that God will chasten his own unto death if necessary. Doesn't want to do that, but he will do that if it is needed. Now, the writer, he's writing to his, he's confident that most of the ones he's writing to are Christians. We saw that in Hebrews 6:9. But he has a multifaceted challenge to help these Hebrew believers become established. Here's the challenge. Some among these believers may have stopped short of salvation. I mean, there's been Judaizers teaching all along. You believe in Jesus, and you must keep the law to get saved. There's been Judaizers teaching that. There's been others teaching, you get saved, but you really need to keep the law to grow spiritually. That's part. There are those teaching that. And so all this teaching has been flooding in while they're in the midst of all this persecution, while they're distracted. Do I really need to lift Jesus up so high? Nero doesn't seem to like that, okay? He just wants to be called Lord. Do I really need to exalt him so high? Yes, you do. And all that's flooding in there. Well, they're trying to deal with that. And it's a difficult thing. Some believers may have stopped short of salvation. They've heard all these things, and they've never actually just trusted Christ. In their heart, they're still thinking, "And I'll keep the feast, and I'll do my best with the law, whatever." Well, no, that doesn't get it. Jesus didn't come to save people who can do part of their salvation, okay? He didn't come to just to accomplish part of our salvation. He has to purchase that for us and give that to us. We don't work for our salvation. We what? We work out our salvation. Amen? Some believers may have stopped short of salvation. They have never trusted in their hearts without excluding the thought of works being involved to attain salvation. Some may have been saved, but now they think that the law and Judaism are the paths to become spiritual and to be considered spiritual. And by the way, in Paul's epistles, he clearly condemns both of those teachings. He does that in Galatians and other places. But speaking of that, the Galatians had turned back to some things of the law, and they were marking feasts, and the Judaizers had convinced them to get involved in Judaism and begin keeping the feasts and such. Paul wrote about to them in Galatians 2:16 and following. He said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, talking about the law of Moses there, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we, Paul says, have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, what? Shall no man be justified? And Paul went on to say, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You see, we can't get into heaven without righteousness. Heaven is a holy place. And when it comes to getting into heaven, there are only two kinds of righteousness you consider. One, we consider, well, I'll do all the law I can. Well, God told Moses in the Old Testament and the Jews, if they kept all, if they confessed that if we keep all the law, it shall be our righteousness. Okay, I'll grant you that. If you keep it all, it'll be your righteousness. And how many have kept it all? None. Zero. The law has proven all men guilty, Romans. And so there has to be another righteousness, Romans again. Right, but now the righteousness of God without the law, what? Is revealed through Christ. Now I can have the righteousness to get into heaven, and I can only have it, why? Because it's without the law. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. That's how God justifies. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified how? Freely, through His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's the righteousness. That, by the way, that's the righteousness that Paul traded in. He was talking about his righteousness he attained to the law. He said, and those things, by the way, I count dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, what? Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness was by faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the saving righteousness. And by the way, it's also the sanctifying righteousness. See, because I don't draw closer to God by just trying really hard to follow the Lord's commandments. No. Just as I called out for salvation, wasn't worthy of it, couldn't do anything attained to myself, I can't follow in the Lord's command. I can't even show him I love him without his help, without his strength doing it through me. I'm really going to show you I love you, Lord. Yes, you go right ahead and see how well you do with that. No, it's God, help me to love you. God, I want to follow you. The Bible, Paul talks about believers. We wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Our hearts have been changed. We now yearn for righteousness in our lives, and we're praying for it. We're striving for it with all that we can, and we ought to be. We've talked about that. But we're also finding ourselves fall short and failing many times. And we're yearning and praying, God, change this in my life. Change this deed. Take it away. Add this thing to my life that I'm not doing. Change these thoughts. Give me a victory over these thoughts. I'm dwelling on them too long. And we lay out the failure and the struggle that we're having before God, looking hopefully, what? For deliverance, amen? And in God's timing, guess what? It comes, amen? And he gives us that we experience the bliss of that righteous deliverance where God gives us the victory. You know, I haven't thought about smoking a cigarette for a long time. And you know why that is? Because God gave me the victory in that. And he gave me that. And by the way, if I hung around with people who did that all the time and thought about that, you know, too much, I could be right back there. Him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. You know, oh, I got victory over that. I'd never go back. Well, that might be your Achilles heel right there. You know, and no, we call on the Lord for those things. All right, Romans 3:21. I'll be done for tonight. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And Romans 3:28 concludes. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And the writer of Hebrews is working hard to get them to lay aside the law of Moses for righteousness. All the feasts, all the temple worship, all those things that the Judaizers are trying to tell them that somehow they'll have a righteousness required to be saved, or somehow they'll attain a righteousness in the power of the flesh by yielding to those things, that it'll be pleasing to God. And the writer of Hebrews is trying to get them to throw it all away. No, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about his Spirit changing us from within. That's salvation, by the way, and that's sanctification. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, how was that? By grace through faith. And then the verse continues, so walk ye in him. Amen. How's that? By grace through faith. By grace through faith. That's how we live this life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. And God, I thank you for this book of Hebrews. Father, it must have been a great help to so many of the Jews who were struggling, Father, especially those who were truly seeking you. God, it's the wisdom and power of your Spirit, all your word is, God. And Father, no doubt many were greatly helped. No doubt those who had fallen short because there were still hanging on to some kind of works were able to give that up. Those who were so frustrated because they thought your love was you didn't love them because they couldn't keep the law enough. They wanted to serve you, but they were trusting in their flesh to give them victory after they were saved. And Father, hopefully many of those at the time even found that grace, and for you to change them and give them the victory in that thing that they so desired but found themselves so helplessly weak in the flesh to attain, as we all should. Help us to be mindful of these things, dear God, and to walk in the Spirit that we might not fulfill the lust in the flesh, to watch you change us as we seek you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength as well. But we know where the power comes from. We know the grace that we need. And we know that we can bow before your throne because of the precious blood of Christ that has paid that way for us. Help us never, at any time or any moment, Father, to forget that at all times in blessings and in time of need. And